Welcome back, Conference USA fans, and welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have a really fun, exciting episode in store for you today. There is a lot packed into this one episode, so stick around till the very end to see all of the exciting stuff we have in store. We have two interviews in this episode, one with head coach of Louisiana Tech baseball, Lane Burrows, and one with head coach of the Youngstown State Penguins, the newly crowned national champions in bowling. So stick around for both of those episodes. And then there's a fun thing at the very end of this episode. You've seen the trend probably on social media of people making themselves into AI action figures. Well, we took it upon ourselves to make all of our Conference USA mascots into AI action figures, and the results are really fun. So make sure that you stick around all the way to the end of the episode to see the final product. But I have special guests joining with me today. Back again on the show, we have Assistant Commissioner of Strategic Communications, Josh Yonas, joining us once again to talk about all of the stuff that we have going on right now, which is a lot.
Yeah. Happy to, chime in on a jam-packed episode, help you get through all of this stuff. And I'm super excited about this, our AI action figure mascot. So yeah, definitely stick through. We'll try and blow through this as quickly as we can.
Yes.
So we can get you to what you really want to see.
But who are we kidding?
You want to hear from us about what's going on in Conference USA,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And before we get there though, because if you're listening right now on Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music, you're not going to get to see the action figures. So you need to go find us on YouTube so that you can actually watch the show and get to see what we're talking about here at the end of the show. And then also go ahead and follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram so that you never miss a new update about a new episode. So let's roll right on into what we have to talk about today. I love this. I'm stealing it from you, even though you wrote it, because it's right here on this paper. You said, forget March Madness. What about April absurdity? Because the things that we have going on in this office right now, it's a lot.
Yeah. I sat down to kind of build out some notes for the show, and I was like, holy moly. Yeah, just between what we had to recap from this past week, what we have going on this next week, we've got, three, four championships all going on right now. One national championship that just finished up. A couple sports on the diamond that are, charging into the second half of their conference season. So, yeah, let's start. You mentioned it right off the top. Bowling, woo-hoo! Youngstown State national champions, first national champion for the Penguins since 1997.
Yeah.
So obviously you got a chance to be there in Vegas. So yeah, what was that experience like?
It was really cool. I'm not going to lie. My first NCAA national championship that I got to experience. And it's been just such a pleasure to get to do something from a little bit different for myself, being a sport administrator for Conference USA and for the best bowling league in the country. It has been really awesome. So we had three out of the four teams there in the final four teams. And then Youngstown State had to beat Nebraska twice, who is the number two seed in the nation. Mm-hmm. The only Conference USA team, or the non-Conference USA team that was there, had to beat them twice to make it to the final. And so it was Youngstown State against Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State, obviously the number one seed in the nation, coming off of a national title last year. So they were going for back-to-back. But the Penguins, it was just like, the stars aligned for them. They have six seniors on their team, two fifth year, like he's graduating a lot of girls. And it seemed like it was meant to be for head coach Doug Kaberski, who we will talk to later in the show. And it was just really fun to watch. It was a good match too. Really good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we saw kind of in the scores there, Penguins jumped out to a 3-1 lead. It looked like they were going to wrap it up pretty mm-hmm. easily. Jack State said not so fast. I'll say that in honor of today's news with Lee Corso announcing
his retirement. Not so fast,
there
my you
friend. Go. but they tied it up, forced that last seventh game. And obviously the Penguins ended up coming out on top 228-203. But yeah, I love what you said about those seniors. And you look back on, obviously with them being, going from the Southland to CUSA, they have been no stranger to the Final Four. This is their third trip there. And on the third time they finally, get it done. They get to hoist the trophy. So, I'm super excited to hear from Doug about just what that meant to not only to him, to get his first national title, but for those girls that have put in such hard work over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years for some of them that are fifth year seniors that were finally duly rewarded for all their hard work.
It was really cool to get to be there. And I told Doug this in the interview, which you'll see later, but you know, everyone was watching the girls and how excited they were, but watching Doug, watching the coaches was like watching the groom when the bride walks down the aisle. Like his emotions were so cool. Like I found myself getting emotional because he was so excited for what his program had done. So yeah, really excited to be hoisting another national championship trophy here at Conference USA, our second bowling one in a row. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's the last one, I'll tell you that much. 8 of the top 10 teams in the country to finish out the year. So, I mean, things are going well for CUSA bowling.
Yeah. Yeah. Capped off another great season. And it was also your first time to Vegas. So
it
what was that?
Yeah.
How was that for you?
You know, I spent a lot of time at a bowling center, I did walk around and get to see the sights a little bit, got to do a little like sightseeing, not only on the strip, but also the bowling center was right by Red Rocks National Canyon. And so like, that was really cool to get to experience. But yeah, I'll go back.
Nice.
So yeah. it'll be a good time. But, awesome. We mentioned national championships finishing out the season. We had a conference championship finish up just yesterday in women's golf, and WKU swept not only the team title, but also the individual title.
Yeah, and they had to storm back. I mean, going into the final day, we thought that this was all Jack States, right? They had a pretty comfy lead. They just had to kind of go out there and take care of business. The Lady Toppers, again, began the final day 6 shots back of Jack State, shot an even par as a team.
It's crazy.
Which when you look at the round scores for all 3 days, I mean, that was like 10, 11 strokes better than what anyone had done as a team throughout the entire tournament. So they really turned it on the final day. Junior Sydney Hackett was the one that really led them. She shot 5 under on the final day. She forced a playoff with Emma Bunch, who obviously we had on the podcast a couple weeks ago to preview this championship. She did all she could. Unfortunately, Sydney Hackett, she birdied that playoff hole to get the individual medal. But yeah, an awesome championship. We'll kind of find out here next week, Wednesday, April 23rd, the NCAA selection show, noon central on the Golf Channel. We'll find out where WKU is headed, where Sydney Hackett is headed, and anybody else who ends up qualifying.
Yeah. So. And for people who don't know women's golf on the NCAA side, yes, you make it as a team, but you also have a chance to make it as an individual. So obviously Sydney Hackett will go with her team, but Emma Bunch has had a great year. She's in the top 100 nationally of women's golfers, collegiate golfers. So chances that she makes it are pretty high. Excited to see whether or not we can get a couple more individuals in the field as well. We had a Masters playoff hole on Sunday. We had a playoff hole in the CUSA Women's Golf Championship as well on Wednesday. So lots of fun stuff happening there. But we're crowning 2 more champions this weekend, which is absolutely nuts. Like you said, April absurdity. The men's and women's tennis championships. The women's championships has already started. Men's championship starts tomorrow,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
We've got a lot of good stuff going on. Both of those championships up at Liberty.
Yeah, yeah. And we got a chance to watch it. Here in our studio, we have a big wall of screens on the other side of the room here. So we already had some on this morning. Beautiful facility up there in Lynchburg. Broadcast looks great. You can catch all the matches for the women's and men's championships on ESPN Plus. So definitely head over there if you are, you know, somewhere across the nation rooting on one of our schools. So like you said, women's quarterfinals are finishing up probably as we speak.
them on right before we started, and our producer over here, Dane extraordinaire, he was like, should I leave this on while we're recording? Would that be too distracting?
Yeah.
Although we could give you live updates on what's happening.
So, yeah. Well, not so live. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Live for us while we're recording.
Yes.
But so women's, they finish up Saturday. The men, like you said, they start tomorrow and they go through Easter Sunday. We'll get a couple more teams hoisting some trophies. And then men's golf, they tee off next Monday, April 21st at Texarkana Country Club in Texarkana, Texas.
Yep.
I'm sure we have lots more excitement going on there. Men's golf tournament looks a little different than the women's. They have 3 rounds of stroke play that leads to Thursday's match play. We have semifinals and championship for that.
Yep.
You can catch the semifinals and the final on ESPN Plus as well. So I believe this is the first year we had every single one of our conference championships had some element on ESPN Plus, which is awesome. Huge credit both to our former video services person, Chris Gray, and to Keith King, our current video services person, for really overseeing that whole venture, working with all our schools to get that done, because it's so awesome that
it's so
all
cool.
of our championships, all of our student athletes get a chance to be on, you know, on television, yep. on streaming. Yeah,
it is really cool. Golf, I mean, that's it's you may not think it because, you know, the Masters and the U.S. Open and the whatever, they're always on TV, right? Yeah. But there's a lot that goes into that. An 18-hole golf course is a large area to cover. So yeah. Shout out to our friends, too, at Jeff Watts Production, who are taking the production on for us,
yes.
And making sure that we get some student athletes on ESPN Plus. It's going to be really cool. So, yeah, tune in to that. Like he said, that's going to be live on ESPN Plus next Thursday, which I think is April 24th. I don't know. Dates.
Yes. Yeah. 24th. Cause then, yeah, we'll record another episode next Thursday. We'll probably be talking about the end of that. I don't know if we'll know who will have won yet.
Right.
And then we'll also preview beach volleyball, which will start next Thursday, the 24th, and go through next weekend.
My goodness.
Yeah. April absurdity. I'm telling you,
we got a lot going on. We have a lot going on for sure. Well, the other two sports that we have absolutely going on right now, softball and baseball on the diamond, lots of action there. Let's talk about softball first. When's the softball championship? What are the dates for that?
So softball is May 7th to the 10th in Bowling Green, Kentucky, hosted by WKU. So really excited to be there. And it was funny, our sport admin for softball, Kelly Gatwood, she came to my office the other day and she just sat down and she just like let out this big sigh. And she's like, Josh, what is going on with softball? And I was like, I don't know, Kelly, your guess is as good as mine. The one constant that we talk week in, week out on the podcast when we bring up softball is Liberty keeps winning. And they're solidified there at the top of the standings. After them, tell me where you've heard this before. A log jam in the middle of our standings in any sport. That's just the theme for this year, I think. The second through the seventh place team separated by just two games. Now, we have a lot of softball to play. We're just a little over halfway. They've played about 17, 18 games, depending on we had one series where a game was canceled. And they have three series left. So still nine games to play. A lot to be decided. But only the top six teams make the conference tournament.
That's the kicker, I think, because for a lot of certain championships that we have, everyone makes it, right? But nope, softball,
or,
top
like
six.
Baseball's top eight. So like you get a couple extra spots. If it was top eight in softball, it might, there's a little more separation at the bottom, but yeah, the battle for that sixth spot is going to be wild.
Yep. And like you said, three more series left. So there's not a whole lot of time. I mean, I guess you said nine games, but a lot can happen in nine games. There's going to be some teams that have got to go out there and win some in order to make it, which is just
crazy. I know. We will talk a little bit about Liberty, still ranked in three of the major polls after they had a big win over Virginia last week. They won the series against New Mexico State out in Las Cruces, which was a big win for them. The Aggies did pick up a win on Sunday, which was huge for them, avoided the sweep in that finale. But Liberty, still holding strong there at 15-2, first place in the standings. And then after that, that's where, we start to see some really interesting series coming down the stretch, because this past weekend, FIU grabbed a series win over La Tech. They're now both tied at second place at 11-7. Sam Houston also in the mix there at 11-7 after a sweep of Kennesaw. And then Middle Tennessee pulled out the rubber match against rival WKU on Sunday in a very, very, very tight series. All three games were decided by one run. I mean, we talk about how much these schools do not like each other one bit. I can't imagine what the emotions were like on the diamond for those games.
Yeah.
When you've got late, game-winning runs, walk-offs, whatever it may be. So that was big for them. They just kind of they're one of those teams that – even since I've been here, even when I was at North Texas, back in 2017, the CUSA tournament then, or I'm sorry, 2018, they went in as the sixth seed, and ended up winning the tournament.
I remember
just
this, yeah.
Swept all the way through. And then it happened again my first year. It was like deja vu because they were the same seed and it felt like they had almost the exact same path. So what Jeff Breeden is able to do for them, even when they're kind of backed up against the wall, they kind of had a slow start to the season this year, but they're winning series when they need to. And they've got another big one this week. One of the kind of two series that I've got my eyes on. Jack State visits Murfreesboro to play Middle Tennessee. And as a reminder for all our series this weekend for baseball and softball, because of the Easter holiday, they will start tonight, Thursday, the 17th. They'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, rather than Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So don't be a little confused if you start seeing some final scores come through tonight. The Jack State at Middle Tennessee, the Blue Raiders have won four straight CUSA home series dating back to the end of last year. So they know how to defend their turf, defend their dirt, I guess is probably how you should better say it in softball. And then obviously, it really feels like anytime Liberty's playing, they're kind of the series to watch just to see if they can continue to win. But they host Sam Houston, who, as I mentioned, is tied for second place right now. Sam Houston, while they don't, the offense is kind of inconsistent at times, their pitching has been a big strength for them. They're kind of second to Liberty, both in overall and league play in ERA and opposing batting average. So the X factor that I'm looking at in this series is Abigail Young against this Liberty lineup, who we know what they can do any given day. But Abigail Young, 3-1 with a 1.30 ERA in her last five games. Her last three starts, she has gone down as the winning pitcher. So, if she can go out there and at least get him a win in this series, I mean, that's big. If you can go to Lynchburg and beat them.
Yeah, that is. That's huge. So I like that you have put out those two series to watch this weekend. That's a lot of fun.
There's too much. Yeah, too much to be decided here to only focus on one. For sure.
Yeah. And I know that the Liberty games are on ESPN Plus. I'm pretty sure all the middle ones are as well. So you can catch those. We've said it once. We've said it a million times. If you don't have an ESPN Plus subscription at this point and you're a Conference USA fan, go and get one. The Easter Bunny can bring you an ESPN Plus subscription this weekend. So, all right. Switching over to a different diamond, the baseball diamond.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on this last weekend. Road teams really came in, showed out, and it was awesome to watch because, home field advantage in a lot of sports, it's very important. But this weekend, road warriors, as you said, it was all about them.
Yeah. And it's one thing to do it, in a lot of these other sports like soccer or basketball, when you're going in for one game and you win that one game, right? But when you have to go on the road for baseball, softball, you're there probably 4 days. You get there for a practice day or whatever. And then you got to play there 3 days. It's a grind, mm-hmm. right? And you got to go into this ballpark, into someone else's house three times, and to even come out with two, much less three wins is hard.
Yeah.
It is hard, hard, hard. But we had a couple that did it this weekend.
DBU and WKU both, which is huge because they're sitting at the top of the standings and they solidified their place up at the top of the standings this weekend. WKU swept Liberty at home, Lynchburg, which was a big, big deal. So they went, dropped Liberty down to 5-7 in conference play, which if you look at them and watch them play, they don't look like a 5-7 team, but WKU is really stinking good this year. And I think that we've talked about it all season and people were like, oh, if they have, they have the strength of schedule, whatever. No, they're good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah.
And so they're getting votes and they're getting into polls now, which is awesome. And then DBU swept Jack State. And so those two teams went on the road, grabbed a full sweep series wins. And then Louisiana Tech also went on the road and got a series win against Middle Tennessee. We'll talk to Lane Burrows here in just a little bit, which we did this interview on Tuesday. Today is Thursday. We did this interview a few days ago, knowing that they had some competition going on this evening. So I'm wearing different clothes and I'm and we talk about the game against Monroe, which unfortunately they dropped on Tuesday. So just so you know, that game was recorded on Tuesday. But talking about WKU and Liberty, there's a little fun little stat about Liberty that you shared with me earlier today.
We've talked all season long about how Liberty's picked up all these wins against the ACC, and it seems like every time, every Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever they play, they feel undefeated against the ACC teams. They are 5-2 against the ACC teams. They have the same number of wins against the ACC as they do against our own conference. They are 5-2 in the ACC, 5-7 in CUSA. So
Conference USA baseball is just really, really good. That's what it is.
No, that truly, I think it really is. And the other thing with the WKU sweep in Lynchburg is, and I always like to kind of, put a pin in this, right? For later on in the season is, where's our baseball tournament?
Lynchburg, Virginia. Yeah.
And so for WKU to have just that little bit of confidence that they already went there, they beat a good Liberty team three times. When you go back into that building, I think you just carry a little, you know, you got a little extra swag in your step. Like they'll be feeling good. But yeah, I mean, just crazy with Liberty. You wonder kind of when's the other shoe going to drop in a positive way of like, when are they going to start winning more conference series? Because they obviously have the resume of a very dangerous team. Yeah. And if they get matched up with an ACC team in a regional, we've seen that they have the capability to beat them.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously surprise a lot of folks. So, you know, and DBU is another team that obviously they're kind of more in the mix for a conference championship, just with the wins and losses side of it. But they have two wins over Oklahoma, had an extra inning win over Oklahoma State earlier in the year, got another one against TCU on Tuesday.
Yep.
So another team that, you know, they have the resume to really prove it, but they are winning games in conference play and really kind of solidifying themselves at the top, you know, the top three in CUSA.
Yeah. So, and again, though, WKU took two out of three against DBU. What is that, last weekend?
Yeah.
And then, so talking about Louisiana Tech too. So the top three right now, pretty solidified. WKU, yep. DBU, Louisiana Tech are all up there in the mix. Louisiana Tech has a really tough schedule. And when I do my interview with Lane Burrows, he's like, thanks for reminding me, Sarah, that my schedule is so tough. But so this weekend, they have Liberty at home. Next weekend, they have DBU at home. Thankfully, both of those games in the Love Shack. Okay.
Yep.
But then they go on the road to WKU. So three weekends in a row, Liberty, DBU, WKU. It's a tough out for Louisiana Tech. But if they can get through that, talking about putting a pin in it for the conference tournament later in the season, like that is a huge stretch to get through.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of need to learn a little bit about these teams and, you know, it's kind of, I guess, good for them that they're playing a little later in the season because it's going to be fresher on their minds. Right. And hopefully in a positive way, but yeah, I think the big edge for La Tech in these next two series being at the Love Shack, they have not lost a home CUSA series since May of 2023.
Awesome.
They do not like to lose at home. I definitely think that they have the edge these next couple weekends, but we'll see, because obviously anything can change. We've seen crazier things go on in both softball and baseball.
Yes.
But you know, again, beyond those top three, some pesky teams kind of on their tails in the middle of the standings there with Kennesaw, FIU, New Mexico State. We get a chance to watch two of those in action this weekend. FIU visits Kennesaw State. It's been an up and down season for the Owls. And I think that this is really a chance for them to make a statement against a good FIU team that they can hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like they've already had a couple hitters of the week this season. So if they can pick up a win there, kind of bump themselves up a little bit closer to those top three, that's going to be huge. Just obviously as we talk about seeding for the tournament.
Yeah, there's still several weeks left. I guess if you have three series weekends left in softball, we have five or six maybe left in baseball.
Yeah, something like that.
So they've still got quite a bit of season left to determine where their seeding is going to be at the end there. But as of right now, it's a little more cut and dry than softball is. So we'll have to see how things pan out for the rest of the season. But as always, a lot of our games, I'm not going to say all of them, I'm not looking at the schedule right now, but a lot of our games are on ESPN Plus this weekend. Go check them out. If you need to find out where to watch games, you can visit conferenceusa.com, toggle on over to whatever sport you're trying to find, and go look at those schedule pages and find where to watch. So lots of fun stuff in store this weekend. Conference championships, lots of softball and baseball games. But we have two interviews that we're going to bring you right now here on CUSA Insider. But don't forget to stick around till the very end so you can see our AI mascot action figures that ChatGPT spit out for us. But first up, we're going to talk to head coach of the Louisiana Tech Bulldog baseball squad, the Lane Train. Lane Burrows will be here first on the program. And then right after that, we'll roll right into our interview with head coach of the Youngstown State National Championship winning Penguins, Doug Kaberski. So stick around for both of those right now. All right, everybody. Joining us here on CUSA Insider, we have the head coach of the Louisiana Tech Bulldog baseball squad, Lane Burrows, lovingly known as the Lane Train to the Bulldog faithful. Lane, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. Excited to talk to you about how the Bulldogs are doing this season.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor, Sarah. And if the people listening to this would know what we just went through to get on here and the patience you showed. I told you have the patience of Job, and I surely appreciate you. I had a lot on, so thank you so much. I'm honored to be on.
Yeah, no problem. That is a very high compliment. I do appreciate you making the time for us today, despite all of the things that were going on this morning. Yeah. But yeah, we wanted to just talk to you a little bit about how your squad's doing this season. After a couple of really great weekends here to start off Conference USA play. So I think a lot of people know when they look at the Bulldog baseball team over the past several years, you guys have made a name for yourself, not only in Conference USA, but also nationally. And then, you know, last year winning the regular season title, you guys had the player of the year, Ethan Bates, on your squad last year, or Country Ohtani, as I found out he was called when we were down there for the baseball tournament last year, best two-way player in the nation in the NCAA last year. But you guys have had a lot of roster turnover from last season to this season. You told me right before we got on here that you guys have lost 80% of your offensive production going into the 2025 season. So tell me a little bit about the roster makeup this year, what challenges you guys are facing, but also, you know, what things you're seeing come out of this squad that you're really happy about.
You know, it's been really interesting when we went through the fall, and I liked our team offensively. I thought our starting pitching would be the strength of our club. You know, you lose a Sam Broderson and an Ethan Bates at the back end of a ball game. I mean, Broderson, second in the country, K's per nine innings, 15th round draft pick by the Cardinals. And then, as you mentioned, Bates, player of the year. And I think he led, he was the best closer in the country. He led the country in saves. So you lose two-time All-American. You lose those guys. So I was really concerned about the back end of the ball game. We lost George Corona, our catcher, who had been a five-year starter. It's like having a five-year starting quarterback. So you're replacing that. So had some concerns, but early on, I wouldn't say we're particularly young. We're just really new. And I think that's the age we're in now in college athletics. You're going to have that a lot. And trying to have guys figure out who we are as coaches, what our culture is and all that stuff. And we came out scuffling. Look, we didn't play particularly well. We lost, we won our opening series. We lost three series in a row and to a good Southern Miss team, Memphis and South Alabama. And I don't know, you know, you look at these moments in the season, Sarah, and we went to Wichita State. We lost to Oklahoma in a midweek and we went to practice on Thursday night. And I essentially said, look, we're going to meet and we're going to get some stuff out on the table. Everybody's going to talk. And I don't care if we practice. I really don't. So we were 9-8 at the time. And a lot of guys talked and, you know, I did. I said, hey, coaches are open game too, man. Come at us. I mean, we want to win. And I thought it was a very productive meeting. We practiced for like 30 minutes. We ended up winning that series and we've won every series since. And I don't know, you know, you can look at that and go, man, that was the turning point. But really and truly, our starting pitching's been pretty solid. Our offense has come around. We've had guys like Sebastian Mexico. He was hitter of the week last week. Zeb Ruddle, transfer from LSU. Trey Halsey, true freshman. Garrison Berkeley, another transfer. Guy Brody Drost, who's been here and been through a lot. Guys are starting to hit and produce, so it's helped us. And Blake Hooks has been outstanding at the back end of the ball game. It's hard to replace Bates and Broderson, but I can't say enough about Blake Hooks and what he's been able to do. I mean, to come into games, he's about 3-0, 5 or 6 saves or something. It seems like when we hand in the baseball, it's Katie bar the door and it's lights out and we win the game. So I don't know what happened, you know, that weekend we went there, but we've been playing pretty good baseball since then. And when you get to that point, Sarah, really and truly, I say this all the time, you kind of make out the lineup and get out of their way. You know, there's so many good coaches in this league. There's so many good players and every weekend's a battle. So so far it's been pretty good and we're right here in the middle of it. So we'll keep grinding along and see what happens.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about your pitching staff because you mentioned that, you know, you felt pretty comfortable with your starters, but after what you lost last year, you weren't so sure about the back end of the game, the guys who were coming in relief and closing. But you mentioned Blake Hooks. He does actually lead Conference USA in saves with 6.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit more maybe about your pitching staff, because looking at how many guys you actually had returning from last year and not necessarily people who have played the game before and are just transfers, but guys you had returning from Louisiana Tech from last year, just a handful. You have a lot of new pitchers on your roster. So tell me a little bit more about your pitching staff this year and kind of what you guys have been working on to make sure that you get in games and have a good production.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we had Luke Nichols coming back. He was all conference last year. He was preseason all conference this year. He went to the Cape and pitched really good. And, you know, he'll tell you this. He has not been what he was. He has struggled out of the gate. We've put him in the bullpen, and Grant Hupka was a bullpen mainstay for us last year, and we made him our Friday guy. And, you know, we started noticing with Grant each start, his velocity was going down. His stuff wasn't as good. And we get in a rain delay on Friday night against Kennesaw State, and we're in the back room kind of challenge him, you know, and he came clean, and he had said he had been hurting for about 4 weeks, and he's out, you know. So we lose our Friday guy, and who hadn't been throwing great up to his standards or ours. So, you know, we got to transfer Luke Cooley. He's been good for us. He took a no-hitter into the ninth inning against Kennesaw. Ultimately, we had to take him out of the ball game at 135 pitches. He was pitcher of the week in the league that week. He's been solid for us. And Brooks Robertson, a true freshman from Lubbock, Texas, he's been outstanding. He's kind of won a weekend job. And then the other one's kind of TBA. That's kind of how we roll every weekend. It's going to be Cooley, Robertson, and then TBA. And if anybody knows anything about me, if you played for me or coached with me, I worry about today. I don't look too far ahead. And maybe that's a weakness. Maybe it's a strength. I don't know. But you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I want to win today. The good Lord may send rain, and we may not play the rest of the week. I don't know. So that's how we've been rolling on the weekends. It's for right now, Cooley, Robertson, and the TBA. And, you know, we've had a young freshman, Landon Fontenot. He stepped up, and he's been good for us. A couple of spot starts and some midweek stuff. And we've had some guys that stepped up. Our bullpen been really good with Logan Forsythe, the transfer from Mississippi State. You know, a great arm. He was blessed with an outstanding arm, a high-velocity guy. And then Nate Kreider, another guy that was with us last year, he's been really good. So we feel if we can get to the sixth, seventh inning, just like in the past with a lead, we feel like our bullpen's good enough they can hold it. But, you know, that don't always hold true, but so far so good.
Yeah, you mentioned those late inning kind of games when you get into that situation. I do want to talk about one that happened this past weekend on Saturday against Middle Tennessee. You guys were down 8-3 going into the ninth inning. And Sebastian Mexico, who you mentioned just a little bit ago, with the go-ahead three-run homer in the ninth. What did that do for your team morale, kind of coming off of also your 300th win as a head coach the night before?
Yeah, I knew nothing about that till they told me the next day. I'm not concerned about that stuff. Good players and good coaches with you, they deserve all the credit. I mean, it, you know, I always say good players make us look like good coaches and vice versa. So everybody can coach in this league. But that game in particular, Sarah, I've been doing this 30 years at this level, and I was reaching deep into my memory bank, and I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. We were down six going in top of the ninth on the road, and you know, innocently enough, the top of the ninth started with a capper to third base, and he made an error. We pinch ran for the guy, then we hit it to short. They can't make the play at second. And if the guy that hit the ball is running, he's out because he's not a good runner. The guy that was running was, and, you know, then we draw a walk, then we hit a double, and you're like, whoa, we may be on to something here. Would they get an out? We get a walk, two walks, and Sebastian Mexico comes up and in a two-run game, hits a three-run homer and puts us in the lead. And it was unbelievable. I mean, it was just absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, I've been on the other side of those two, but I don't know if I've ever been on the side where you score six in the top of the ninth on the road to take the lead. And Kate Patterson had a big double later in that inning to give us 10 and to put the lead at two. And then Hooks came in and threw five pitches and got the win. And it was a great win for our team. We needed it. You know, I say this a lot, Sarah, as we're on the bus coming home, that I don't think people realize how hard it is to win a Division I baseball game. And the margin of error between winning and losing is razor thin. Look, we won Friday night 5-4, could have lost that game. We had to score six in the ninth to win Saturday. And then we get beat Sunday, and, you know, you're that close from getting swept. I mean, it's but you win the series, man. It's
right.
It tells you how good our league is. I mean, it is every weekend. It's a grind. It's a battle. And, you know, I think we're ranked the fifth, sixth best baseball playing league in the country. And you know, I still think we're underrated. Every time I get a chance to go on the radio or things like this, I mean, I tell everybody how great our league is. The coaches are good. The players are great. And yeah, you better bring it every weekend. Cause if you don't, you're going to get exposed. And we were very, very fortunate, even with that comeback, to win that series at Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, I appreciate you and your kind words towards the Conference USA Baseball League. Even through years of realignment and good teams leaving, we've got good teams coming in.
Yes.
And CUSA remains towards the top of the baseball leagues here in the country. But I wanted to talk about that a little bit because you mentioned baseball, the margins are razor thin. You can get swept or you could win a series, but you guys have won five straight series the past couple of weeks, including all four of your conference series this season so far. But your next three conference series are quite a doozy. You guys have Liberty at home this weekend, which may look a little different now after they got swept by WKU at home last week, but still a great team. Then you go, you have DBU at home, who is an incredible team. That will be a rematch from last year's championship game. And then you go on the road to WKU, who is currently leading the league and ranked in several polls in the country. These next 3 weeks are no slouch.
Yeah, I appreciate you reminding me of that. As we sit here. You know, I said earlier, I don't look too far ahead if you know anything about me. But when we were coming back on the bus, I did pull up our schedule. And yeah, trust me, it doesn't mean anything that Liberty got swept. They're doing a great job up there. They got a good team. They got multiple wins against ACC clubs and they can really pitch it. And Bradley's doing a great job, man. I've known him for a long time. He's a good coach. And yeah, it's going to be a battle. It's a shortened week. You know, everybody's playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday because of Easter weekend. So, everything's going to be shortened. And then, you know, DBU is what they are. I mean, anytime you play those guys, they're so dangerous and so well coached. And then Western Kentucky, look, Mark has done a phenomenal job. I mean, they started their 20-0 at home, I think. I saw that, number one. They hadn't even lost a game at home. And 30, whatever their record is, 31-5 and playing great baseball. They lead our league in pitching and hitting. And when you can do that, you're going to have a chance to win. So, yeah, we don't look too far ahead, but you're right. We've told our team, look, it's a gauntlet coming up. And you need to be ready to go. And you know, it starts tonight. We play at Monroe, and that's an interstate rival right down the road, and we need to go win that game, and then we need to get ready for Liberty. And look, I say this all the time. I say this ad nauseum to our team. It ain't who you play, it's when you play them. And I firmly believe that. You know, anybody can beat anybody on any given day. Sometimes you catch teams when they're rolling, they're hot, and they can't do anything wrong, and then you catch them when they can't do anything right. We've been that team, trust me, that sometimes feel like gangbusters, and then you go out there and act like, have we practiced? You know, so it's all about when you play somebody, and obviously the next three weekends are going to be huge for us. And I think when these three weekends are over, when the dust settles, we'll know a lot about our league and where everybody stands.
Yeah, definitely. I think you guys, even though you have probably three of the toughest matchups that there are in this league in the middle of the season, right back to back, you guys do get two of them at home, and that's the Love Shack can get rowdy. So that's a lucky draw for you guys on that one.
Well, no doubt. We're blessed and fortunate to have this facility, you know, after the tornado in 19. And you know, our people just did a phenomenal job building a state-of-the-art baseball facility. And you know, fortunate that first year we moved in, we were able to host a regional. All the stars aligned and we were able to do that. And it kind of got a lot of excitement in our program. Once you host that regional, people get involved that probably hadn't been involved and realize, hey, this is pretty fun right here. And, you know, we've been able to host two conference tournaments in that time since we opened the stadium. And that's huge. I mean, it's anytime you can host the Conference USA baseball tournament. It's great for your program, your city, for the league. Look, and our people in this part of the country, North Louisiana, they love baseball. So, you know, it doesn't matter if FIU's playing Middle Tennessee or whoever, they're going to come out and watch it because they just like baseball. So you're right. We're fortunate we have two of those weekends at home, and we need to make hay. We need to play good. We need our fans to be behind us, and we've been drawing pretty good this year and continue to play good baseball.
You talk about the love for baseball in that part of the country. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about you for a second. You are from Meridian, Mississippi, born and raised.
That's right.
After that, you know, you've kind of not left that area except for maybe a year stint at Kansas State, but you've been in Mississippi, Louisiana, pretty much your entire coaching and playing career. Is that like what makes you stay there? Because you just love it so much, the area or the baseball love around there? What is it about that place that, you know, you want to call home?
Well, and that's a great question. Look, I think the baseball in this part of the country is so good. And I'm not just talking about on the collegiate level, the high school baseball, the summer programs. Usually when we get kids in our program, you don't have to teach them too much. They've been taught by great high school coaches and great summer programs that take it serious. And it's just a love for baseball in this part of the country. Obviously, I grew up in it, played in it, have coached in it. I did take the 1 year in Kansas State, and it's too cold up there for me to play baseball. So I got back down here to the South, and Ruston in particular, I can tell you, it's, you know, I know a lot of people bag on Ruston a little bit, but it's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family. And, you know, I always tell the story when I got this job and I was at my press conference asking my family to stand up. My two older daughters, they're 23 and 21 now. They were in middle school and they weren't having it. You know, they wouldn't even stand up. So I had to force them to stand up.
Oh, man.
And saying all that, now they tell me all the time, I don't care where you go, we're staying here. This is their home, you know. And sometimes, Sarah, you know, in any parts of life, you find a match and you find a fit. And there's just something about this place. I don't know if it's the blue collar aspect of it. I'm a blue collar dude. I was raised blue collar and having to fight for everything I could get. It's a match. It's a fit. We like it here. They treat us right. We get tremendous support. And look, you can't ask for much more than that. If you enjoy going to work every day and your family likes where you're living, man, what more can you ask for? It's been great for us.
That's awesome. I think a lot of people don't realize how big of a deal baseball is, especially in Mississippi, but also like Northern Louisiana as well, because there's not an NFL team there. My mom is from Mississippi, and this is what she always said. She was like, I'm a Saints fan because it's the closest NFL team. But we watched baseball growing up. That was our sport. And I was telling our producer, Dane, before we got on this, that Meridian, Mississippi, I used to drive through it because I went to school in Tuscaloosa and I had family in Jackson. So right down 20, I'd ride right through it. But my favorite stop right after going from Tuscaloosa to Jackson, you pass Meridian and you get to a small town called Chunky, Mississippi.
Yeah, Chunky. Yeah.
And it always made me laugh every time I was on the hallway or on the highway. So when I was looking up Meridian and exactly where it was, I immediately remembered because Chunky was on the highway right there.
Well, Chunky is right outside of Meridian. As you say, there's a fish camp there that is really good. We ate there growing up. There's a river, the Chunky River. And every year when I was in high school or junior high, I mean, this went on for years, they had the Chunky River raft race. So you made your own raft. It was a lot of stuff going on with high school students and at the Chunky River raft race entire Saturday. I'll just leave it at this. I'm glad they didn't have social media back then. Stuff going on. And these homemade rafts, they're breaking up. But we talk about it all the time, the Chunky River raft race. Yeah, it was a pretty big deal. So I can't believe you know where Chunky is. So.
Yeah, I might have to stop at Chunky's Fish Camp if I ever find myself in that area.
I guess it's still open. I don't know. If it is, it was good stuff. Yeah,
That's awesome. Well, bringing it back to baseball for just a second, one thing that I learned about your team as I was prepping for this interview is that you guys actually lead Conference USA in walks with, I think, 202. You've got three players on your team that have more than 20 walks this season. Has discipline at the plate been something you guys have been talking a lot about in your meetings or things like that? Or have these guys just been having good eyes and seeing what they need to see to make sure that they get to first base?
Yeah, we have. Look, it's a double-edged sword, and we hired a new hitting coach, Jake Wells. He replaced Mitch Gaspard, our longtime assistant, former head coach at Alabama that retired at the end of the year last year. And we miss Mitch, man. He was so good for me and our program, and he added so much value. But in hiring Jake, who I've known forever, and that was in his phase that he teaches hitting, that was his number one, know the strike zone. And the reason I say it's a double-edged sword because there's a lot of times, you know, we're going to get rung up looking, and that happens a lot. And, you know, it's not a strike of what we teach our guys. They're not on track, man. But those things happen. Look, it's the human element. It's human beings calling balls and strikes, and you can't argue with it. But our guys have done a phenomenal job. We have a saying, I've said it my whole career, that the ingredients of a big inning is walks, HBPs, errors. And walks lead to errors. And you know, rarely do you see teams that, you know, get four or five hits in an inning, or you know you're going to hit a three-run homer every now and then. But in order to have a big inning, and you can go back to last Saturday when we did against Middle Tennessee, man, we had walks, we had HBPs, we had two errors, and then we get the big double, then we get the big three-run homer. But it's something we embrace. I think you have to know the strike zone. But again, we get called on strikes a lot and guys get upset, but I have to tell them, hey, man, it's double-edged. You got to stay with the plan. And our guys have done a really good job of that all year.
Well, you guys are rolling so far through conference play. We have been talking about, you've got three huge series coming up. But I just want to give you guys a big good luck the rest of the way. Hopefully we'll be seeing you in Lynchburg at the end of the season for the 2025 baseball championship. But good luck to your Bulldogs the rest of the way, and good luck tonight against Monroe.
Thank you, Sarah, so much. And again, thank you for your patience today. That was a lot going on.
No problem.
Thank you so much. And we sure hope to see you at the end of the year as well.
All right, Conference USA fans, joining us here on CUSA Insider, we have Doug Kaberski, head coach of the national championship winning Youngstown State Penguins. Doug, thank you so much for joining us. Let's talk some bowling this morning. Our fans here at Conference USA don't get as much bowling interviews, although I try, being the host of this program, to bring a lot of bowling to the show. But let's talk some national championship winning Penguins.
So great to be here, Sarah. Thanks for having me. And really honored to represent Conference USA and bring the title home.
Well, let's talk about that national championship title first here. So I actually got to catch up with head coach Amber Griffin down at SFA. We were talking about something totally different a couple days ago, but she told me that that was one of the best national championship matches that she has ever seen in her years of coaching. It was an incredible time. You guys went up 2-0. Then Jacksonville State came back and got one. You were 3-1 at one point, but you could never count the Gamecocks out. They came back, tied at 3-3. It went straight all the way through to seven matches. Just tell me a little bit about what you were telling your team during that and the nerves, how you were calming that for your team as you were just on the cusp of winning a national title.
Yeah, we have so much respect for Jacksonville. They're great, and we knew it was going to be a battle, even up 2-0. We were so focused on our process the whole time and just really enjoying ourselves and letting the outcome take care of itself. And so we got to that left lane and stayed there for game seven. We just had a chat of, you know, we're used to these moments. We've been to a lot of game sevens against a lot of these top 10 teams. And sometimes that path, you know, from start to finish is not linear. And we drew a little bit of a graph and said, sometimes that route is full of detours and you find a way to get there anyway. So we knew we had a mission and we believe we can complete it. And we did.
Well, we actually had another interview that was on this program earlier with head coach of Louisiana Tech baseball, Lane Burrows, and he was telling us that baseball is like a game of inches. It's razor thin margin on whether you win or you lose. But I've got to say, bowling might be even more of a razor thin margin when it comes to whether you win a match or lose a match. And you guys absolutely showed that during your national championship match. Almost every match came down to the 10th frame. Jod got out there and threw some amazing balls down the lane to win it for you guys. But tell me a little bit about the approach that you have to take with your team when it does come down to the wire like that, and how Jod can have that confidence to just get out there and win it for you.
Yeah, you said it. These matches all come down to one or two shots against all these teams, and bowling is full of a lot of randomness and chaos in the short term. You know, in the long term, things tend to work themselves out, you know, like any other sport like golf. But in bowling, you know, short term, some things can happen. You've got to remember whether that storm and take the good with the bad, you know, and just stay coast and focused and stay cool and calm with that process. So we were trying to do that as best we could on the show, and we did a pretty good job of staying focused on that process and kind of letting the bowling gods sort the rest of it out. You know, a lot of our preparation is really treating every shot the same. If you think about it, the first frame of game one counts the same as the last shot in game seven, right? On the scoreboard, mathematically, they all count for the same thing. And so we try to do that in practice every day back in Youngstown, where every shot matters. And so that way those moments aren't too big and you just focus on the process and keep it as simple as you can.
So this is your third trip to the Final Four teams in the NCAA championship. I think I was watching Madison's post-game remarks after the championship game. She said, third time really is the charm. You got there. It was your third trip, but it was your first time on the show actually making it to the final two to make it on the ESPNU show. What was that experience like for you and your girls? Was there a lot of excitement leading up to that game that evening after having to beat Nebraska, the number two seed in the nation, earlier that morning?
Yeah, it's the third time's a charm, apparently. You know, we just got a little bit better each time out in the Final Four. You know, back in 2021, McKendree, you know, with the O'Keefe's there, Now, of course, they're at Jacksonville State. They beat us in the semifinals, and then we lost Arkansas State, and then we won one match finally last year in a great battle against Sam Houston to get the third, so one step better. And then our goal was to actually get two steps better this year and skip that next step, and thankfully we were able to do that. But just getting a little bit better each time out. But look, when you bowl all these great teams, you know, with all the great coaches out there, no matter what the programs are, you know, it's going to be a battle, and it's they're all going to be close. So we were just really soaking up the moment, just having a lot of fun. All the staff out there in Vegas put on such a great show, and you know, there were music playing during the commercials, and just, you know, we were having just a ball dancing and just chatting with each other, just enjoying the lights and putting it on that side of things where there's really the nerves are a good thing and you're turning it into a positive.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of getting to sit lane side and watch you guys bowl there in the finals. And you're right. Y'all were having a ton of fun. Every single time there was a commercial break and they were playing music, your girls were dancing. You wouldn't know that there were any nerves at all in there. They were having a great time. And I love that. I think that it's fun to be able to say, yeah, this is a big moment for us and for our team, but we're going to get out there and we're going to enjoy it, especially because, you know, I know you don't like to talk about it too much, but you have six seniors on your team. And I think that that is an incredible thing that they got to go out and win a national championship in their last year. But tell me a little bit about how the makeup of your team this year with those six seniors kind of helped propel you all the way to that national title.
Yeah, I think, again, talking about all the battles we've been through, and, you know, Madison and Kirsten being fifth year, they've been through all three Final Fours, and the other four have been through, the other eight have all been through, and seven have all been through the other two. So really, we've all had, I think, seven or eight of us have been together for two Final Fours, and Madison and Kirsten for three. So just a lot of information that we've gained together through those experiences, just getting bit by bit, getting better by better. And we just felt more prepared heading into this season, you know, through all the experiences, all the lessons we've learned from the mistakes, from the positives, everything we've learned together. I think we felt confident we can put it all together and get it done.
So not to open up old wounds here, but at the Conference USA tournament, you guys came in as the two seed. And I think as a surprise to many, you guys were two and out. You played two matches and you were out of the tournament. What happened between losing in the Conference USA tournament and making it all the way to a national championship? What were you telling your team? Was there just a fire lit under them that they needed to go out and show the world what they were made of?
And thanks for that question. No, I'm kidding. So yeah, the conference championship, obviously, I think we were the two seed, and we lost to Sam Houston and SFA in a couple of close, great battles. But look, those are two top 10 teams and two teams that are very much able to win a national championship with the teams and the coaches they have right now. So we weren't surprised they were two tough matches despite our seeding. So we got back to the campus and thought of, hey, what happened, coach? You know, what's going on here? And I said, look, these are two great teams. I know the seeding says, you know, they're seven, we're two, but these are all top 10 in the country teams. And if you're not at your best, and we were probably at a B that weekend, you know, we weren't our best. I wasn't at my best, and they were locked in, and you can get beat by anybody in that range. So really anybody in the top 25, 30, all really much, very much can make a run at this thing. So we knew it was going to be a battle. And so we got back to campus. We were obviously disappointed, but I think it gave us a nice fuel, and we got a lot of good information about how to approach these mega matches together down the stretch. So it could have been a blessing in disguise, but at the time it sure did sting.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, it's just a testament to your guys' season and then this league as a whole. You guys lost in the Conference USA tournament in just your first two matches, and still you were the number three seed in the country going into your regional. So that's just incredible. And I want, you know, I talk a lot on this program about how great Conference USA bowling is because I'm a sport administrator and I really like it. And you guys are awesome. But from your perspective, what is it like to be in a league of 10 teams, knowing that eight of you guys made it to NCAA regionals and eight of you guys are top 10 in the country? So it's just a tough league to get through. But what does it mean to be a part of a bowling league such as Conference USA that has such high level competition every single weekend?
Teams really to make a run at the national championship. I don't think we'd be where we were if we weren't in Conference USA, truly. It just the preparation during the season. We see each other a lot during the season. And then, of course, that the culmination in New Orleans this year with the championship was just a wonderful experience. Despite the losing, it really hardened us up for that stretch run. And there's a lot of mutual respect there, I think, among the teams. You know, we're all competitive. We all want to win. But we all support each other, too, in a nice, balanced way. We all, you know, cheer each other on, and we all root each other on, too. So it's a really beautiful thing we have there, that nice competitive balance and mutual respect.
One thing about collegiate bowling that I don't think a whole lot of people know unless they're in it is, like, you know very well not only the other coaches in the leagues, but the other athletes in the leagues, the other student athletes, just because you guys are recruiting from the same pool, you're doing the same competitions every weekend. What is it like, I guess, to be able to take a look at all of your competition and be able to get to the national championship and shake hands with other coaches and be friendly with them? You were literally Justin Kostic, Arkansas State's head coach, his roommate in college when you were bowling at Nebraska. So what is it like just to have a good camaraderie when you get to these tournaments? I know it's competitive, obviously, but I think being on this side, seeing the amount of camaraderie that you do have between other coaches and student athletes is something that's really special in the bowling world.
Yeah, it definitely makes the job a lot easier when you're on the road and you have friends that are not only colleagues, but friends. And I think we all support each other and learn from each other, too, whether it's just through observation or having conversations. We all want to help each other out. And I think at the end of the day, we all have the commonality of really caring about our student athletes and, you know, wanting to empower them as best we can. And so at the end of the day, if we can help each other out, it's all the better.
Yeah, I love that you said that. One thing that I absolutely loved being at the national championship, I had a conversation with Brian O'Keefe, who is Shannon's wife and also the assistant coach there at Jacksonville State, before the championship got underway on Sunday or on Saturday night. And he told me, he said, obviously, we want to win. We want to go back-to-back national champions. But if Doug happens to win and beat us out, I want to be the first person to shake his hand afterwards because I'm really proud of that dude and I respect him a lot. And I think that that's a testament to bowling and it's a testament to you as well. You are literally one of the nicest head coaches I've ever met ever. So it's been a really fun time to get to follow you and follow your team this year. And it's just really exciting that you guys ended it on such a high note for sure.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, Coach Brian and I, what a great coach and you know, just a great friend. And I really appreciate his kind words. You know, after the show, we talked about how over the years, you know, I always made a point to go congratulate him and Coach Shannon. I mean, they've been, you know, number one, and they are number one. They are right there, you know, every year in contention, no matter what the roster looks like. And I told them, my grandfather taught me to celebrate people's wins and celebrate their greatness. And so even though you want to win and you're just disappointed when I'm shaking their hands, you're also happy for them as well. And I told him, you know, those are all genuine handshakes for all those years of all those successes they have. And so for him to recognize that and be one of the first to congratulate me, it definitely meant a lot because I have a heck of a lot of respect for that. And like we talked about, I learned a lot and have learned a lot from them just watching and having chats. So yeah, it's a good community. Again, a lot of nice balance of competitiveness, but all mutual respect. It does mean a lot.
Well, I'm super excited for you and for your team. Your girls went out there and absolutely killed it in the national championship. I told you this after watching the whole match go through, that watching you was like watching the groom when the bride is walking down the aisle. Obviously, everyone's eyes are on the bride and they're on your players, but watching you was something really special. You got very emotional there at the end, and it was obvious that you were super proud and super excited of your team, for your team. You guys have a national title celebration coming up next week, I think. Can you tell us a little bit about what that might look like?
Yeah, we have a pretty full week planned next week. You know, I'm still out here in Las Vegas supporting one of our student athletes, Amanda Granada, who's bowling in the USBC Singles Championship. And so I'm looking forward to finishing with her, then getting back to Youngstown. There's a week planned with some celebrations, the big ones next Wednesday night in our basketball arena, to invite the community out, all of our supporters and our fans and our community to come out and celebrate with us. So I'm looking forward to really letting it soak in next Wednesday night with our Penguin family.
Well, Doug, Coach Kaberski, congratulations again to you and the rest of the Penguin squad. Go enjoy the rest of your time in Vegas, and we'll have to see some pictures out of this championship celebration next week. We'll have to see if it is like a Super Bowl or a NBA title celebration. I'm expecting some fun pictures out of that.
Well, we appreciate everything, and it's been an honor to chat. Thank you.
Huge thank yous again to head coach Lane Burrows of the Louisiana Tech Bulldog Baseball Squad and head coach Doug Kaberski of the Youngstown State National Championship winning Penguins for joining us here on CUSA Insider. But now it is the moment that you have all been waiting for, the AI mascot action figure reveal. It's coming up right now, Josh. I'm super excited for everyone to see them. It's going to be really fun.
Yes.
So let's see how they turned out. Some of them ended up a little interesting, but we'll see those in a second. All right, here we go. So we have them in alphabetical order here. Rory hanging out with the sunglasses and the palm tree doing his thing. Chilling. I love these. I like want these actually.
Yeah.
We need to be able to put these on the shelves back here. Oh, I don't know. Is there,
if there's someone who makes action figure or has a 3D printer. If you have a 3D printer, please. I don't even care if it's not a real action figure and it's just like a little placard looking thing like this.
Yes.
I please.
These are super cool.
Oh yeah.
Cocky looks great.
You had to have the bowling pin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I love the touches here on some of their, you know, programs or whatever.
Yes.
Scrappy, we get the peach.
We got the peach. And then we don't know why AI did this, but at the bottom there I don't know if it's a lemon or if it's just like a yellow ball. We have no idea what it is, but it's there.
Yeah,
with
sure.
Scrappy.
Why not?
Sparky's the only one who got an all red background because why not?
Yeah,
I don't know why they did that either. Maybe I'm just. I said Sprap. Is it Sparky? Sparky. Yeah, Sparky at Liberty did that. And let's see, Champ. I did this one. I was pretty excited about giving him
a dog bowl.
It is. It is a dog bowl. And if you like zoom in, I didn't ask it to do this, but the dog bowl actually says Champ on it. It has his name on it. It's custom.
Nice.
So that's pretty.
Shout out Champ.
Yep. And then let's see. Lightning looks pretty great in his little basketball uniform. He may be our only basketball player. I think a lot of them have football uniforms on.
Yeah.
But I gave him a tennis racket because, you know, they're pretty great at men's tennis.
Oh, yeah.
A track shoe.
Mm-hmm.
A basketball.
Yeah.
So let's see. Pistol Pete.
I would like to point out that this was inspired by my picture Pistol Pete for all those of you who probably don't remember. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I dressed up as Pistol Pete. So we used my picture. So
this is
special. This is special to me.
It is special.
I love that he's wearing the mustache, but don't worry. It comes with an extra mustache.
Yes.
In case the other one
falls
off.
In case of emergency.
Or double mustache.
Well, my favorite though is that we attempted to get it to remove the mustache from the accessories only, but it took the mustache off of Pete and it was like, this is not right.
Look, AI is not perfect by any means, because I was like, I thought about it and I was like, we should have done like a green chili. So I thought a very simple comment, hey, can you plug in or swap the mustache as an accessory for a green chili, and it changed the person. He looked totally different. He
no
lost
mustache.
Like 70 pounds. I don't know what. We'll talk about it later. There's some weird weight fluctuations going on with Pistol Pete's.
Well, what would have been really funny is if you told it to replace the mustache with the chili and it also replaced it here.
On his face. I would have kept it if we had that.
Yeah. And then let's see. There's Sammy. Here he is. This is a good one. We've got a nice little, a golf ball, golf club, football, because they were pretty great at football this year. Pay Dirt Pete. With his cactus as an accessory down there.
Nice.
And let's see, that's a track.
That doesn't
hurdle.
Seem very kid friendly.
The cactus?
Yeah
as an accessory?
Yeah.
I mean, neither does a golf club,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, I guess we have a lot of weapons in here.
And then obviously everyone's favorite mascot, maybe it's just mine, Big Red here. I need a cartoonized like action figure Big Red in my office immediately today. So that's awesome.
See,
we
it's too
so
polished.
Fun.
It's too polished for Big Red.
we did it first. Dane, our producer over here, just put in, give me an action figure of Big Red. And so it just spit out the mascot one. And that one was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But then when we asked it to do like the whole package with the accessories, it looked a little bit different. But this was so fun to do. And I seriously, like if somebody out there has a 3D printer, we need to get on this.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Please.
But there were a few bloopers that we want to share.
Like I said, AI is not perfect by any means.
Did you want us to hold on?
Well, I was going to say, we also have these. We can...
Oh, I was going
to
do it.
Oh, yeah. We had to shout out our upcoming members here. So we got UD. If you'd given me 10 guesses, I would not have guessed that UD was.
Dane was the same. Dane was like, who's UD? Like, I did not know. I mean,
I've
it's
got a lot
great.
To learn. I know. I'm sorry, Delaware fans.
I love that his name is spelled that way, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because if you actually just did UD, I guess it could have just been UD, but which also would have been pretty funny. But yes, our two newest members, we had to include them as well. Also, don't know why we just got a blue ball of some sort down there at the bottom for UD, but Boomer, so cute in his action figure form.
Ah, we forgot to include his wife or girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't know her name. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. That's all right. We'll get her next time.
Let us
time.
Know in the comments whatever her name is, because we're still learning, like Josh said around here. But yes, our newest members here in Conference USA coming in July 2025, but we had to make ones of them as well. And then, yes, we have some bloopers that we wanted to share with you all. So creepy cocky.
Nightmare fuel. Oh, this is horrible. Gosh. And then maybe the eyes were supposed to be sunglasses, because it did give him sunglasses as an accessory.
Which I don't even know. Did we ask it to give him sunglasses? No, we didn't. Okay, we didn't ask where that him came from. For sunglasses in the accessory section. So don't know why this is happening, but that was terrifying. Goodness. And then let's see here. Ah, yes. The one that we are lovingly dubbing Inmate Sammy, because they just took his hat off entirely, no logo on the shirt at all.
It looks like he just strolled down I-45 from penitentiary.
I don't know. I forgot the state penitentiary was there.
I thought that's why we're calling him Inmate Sammy.
Because he's wearing an orange jumpsuit. So this one really went awry. So what we think happened was we did UTEPs first with the pickaxe. Uh-huh. And we think that it just got confused and said, I need to combine what you asked me for UTEP with what you asked me for Sammy. So we have a pickaxe putter, I think, is what we're going with there. Yep. That's supposed to be cat food for Sammy, you know, but Dane over here keeps saying it looks like beans. So beans. There's beans there. And then the bottom has to be my favorite. So I think what happened, the track hurdle that we asked for for UTEP got combined with a golf club.
Yeah.
And so it turned into a track hurdle golf club situation, but it looks like one of the like kids golf clubs, like a plastic one.
Right.
Or
I like how his I don't know his prison jumpsuit has football pads though.
It does.
He has the thigh pads there.
yes so this one was definitely absolutely hilarious until you got to the last one, which Josh told you he used himself as the picture for Pistol Pete.
ChatGPT did me so dirty on this one. We got this is not Pistol Pete. This is Plump Pete.
He's very plump. It was just, we were like, can you remove, what did you say, 70?
I said, can you make him thinner? I was just like, I don't know how to, yeah.
So, yes, this is Plump Pete. So we had Inmate Sammy, Creepy Cocky, and Plump Pete are our bloopers of these action figures. And this is just so much fun.
Yeah.
I really do think, though, like somebody out there, a toy store, a 3D printer, whatever, has got to make some of these, like even the ones of like the people that we've been putting together. It's just been a lot of fun. We wanted to do something a little bit different here on the program today, give you something to laugh about. So I think we
laughed all right. That's for sure. And
sure did.
9 out of 12, we like nailed. We only had the three bloopers. So not bad.
We did pretty good. So I don't know why this has been like a thing, like a trend the last couple of weeks, but I'm glad it has been.
Yep. I'm here for it.
I think we need to do one of all of us now.
Ooh,
I think
now you're talking.
Really fun.
Yeah. Pull like an action shot of us at a championship or something.
And give us some accessories. I don't know what mine would be, like my computer, some coffee. You definitely have a Celsius in yours. 100%.
Yep.
Somebody
Celsius.
Give Josh an NIL
Please.
Celsius.
I'm begging you. If anyone from Celsius or knows someone at Celsius, come on, hook a brother up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's hard. Laptop, Celsius.
Dane would for sure have a camera, some headphones.
Yep.
I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. Some running shoes, because he's always running around all over the place. it was just a little fun thing that we got to do this week. We have a lot of stuff going on, as we mentioned in the program earlier today, and it's been crazy around here. So we decided to have some fun, but hopefully you enjoyed it as well. Hopefully you enjoyed this whole episode today. And we just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who is following us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. Thank you to those of you who have subscribed either audio or video on YouTube, or audio on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So we just wanted to express some gratitude here today for following the show. We have a lot of fun making it, and hopefully you have a lot of fun listening. So that is all that we have for you today. We appreciate you taking some time out of your day to watch the episode, but you are listening to a really fun episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I am Sarah Rudolph, signing off.